From Light 100.5 WRCH and the Conference of Churches, this is Rich Answers, here to help you become healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Rich Answers edition for 02122012. Yes, February 12th, 2012. I like the way it rolls off the tongue numerically. I'm Lynn Townsend, I'm your host, and today and next week, we'll be talking about relationships. Yes, we could talk about relationships week after week after week after week. It's a very in-depth issue. It's an issue we struggle with, we deal with, we vest ourselves in day after day after day in our lives as human beings, in our lives in this world. But we'll try and touch on some of the real high points as we move forward with today's interviews and our interviews next week. A little bit later on, we will have on a woman whose expertise is divorce mediation. I realize this is Valentine's week, but let's be real. Not every marriage ends up being a 50 or 60 year marriage. In fact, half of all marriages, first marriages in this country, end up in divorce. So can it be done in an amicable way? Yes. Shannon Loudon of Divorce Mediator from Loudon Legal Associates says yes, it can. But first, with me this morning is Elizabeth Robinson. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is also a certified employee assistance program professional. She is the manager of employee assistance programs for the University of Connecticut Health Center and 38 other state agencies. But we're actually here to talk with Liz, if you don't mind, about relationships. Why is it important that we have human relationships? Aside from the obvious, you have to have a relationship to procreate.
Right.
It gets to a point in our lives, a lot of us either decide we're not going to procreate or we're done procreating. Why is it important to have the support systems of relationships in our lives?
Well, relationships are the stuff of life. You know, to find someone that we can share our joys and our sorrow with, it magnifies and can diminish difficult situations, magnify wonderful ones, and all the things in between on that continuum. I think going through life in a more solitary way, which may be fine for some people, but certainly for some, it's not their choice. And they might struggle with, well, how come I don't have more people in my life? Or what am I doing to be in this situation? If it's not a problem, a lot of people are simply more solitary. But I think many people enjoy the company of others. And we learn a lot from how we grew up. And I think that can be the foundation.
Explain that to me. A lot of what I hear from the pop psychology side of things, and that's where I come from. You're the real professional. Everything goes back to our relationships with mom and dad. Is that a fair assessment or is it deeper than that?
Well, I think that that's a good rule of thumb, if you will, or a good marker that can determine the course of healthy and productive and meaningful relationships in the future as adults. And certainly as adults, if we're given the opportunity to look back on how we did manage relationships early in our lives, we can make choices about, do we want to continue that pattern or do we want to do something different? Clearly, if it was a healthy pattern, we would like to continue that. But if it's one that we can recognize was not as healthy or productive, we might take an opportunity to look at that and choose to be different. But clearly, I think, you know, the families we grew up in have influenced and been our model for relationships that we're going to have throughout life. And I think developmentally, we have different tasks that need to be achieved at each developmental stage as an individual. But similarly, the developmental stages of a marriage, there are tasks that need to be accomplished, or at least one tries to meet those tasks and then work them out and come to terms with one's role in the marriage, for instance.
You've given me a lot to chew on, so let me step back for a moment. You talked about if you had as a role model parents before you that were having a healthy and productive and meaningful relationship. Or parental figures. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily need to be mom and dad. It might be older brother, sister, aunt, uncle, family, friends.
Usually most people don't know what they don't know. And right. They grow up in unhealthy situations and aren't even aware of the fact that it's been an unhealthy modeling for them and they have picked up on this modeling. What are some signs that people can look for that perhaps the relationship they've modeled all of their adult relationships upon is not necessarily as healthy as it could have been?
Well, if you're having difficulty sustaining relationships that are meaningful and healthy for you, one might step back and go, this really isn't working. Perhaps there's a lot of arguing, a lot of defensiveness, a lot of inability to share or to negotiate. You know, I think many relationships incorporate the dynamic of a trade-off or compromise and how essential that is in a relationship. We don't always get our way. We might have to, have some wiggle room and some openness to negotiate various aspects of a relationship. Two core things in the formation of a relationship are safety and trust. Those two dynamics will always have some presence in a relationship, perhaps not consciously, but it is about feeling safe with others and feeling that you can trust them and that you will be accepted for who you are without judgment.
Going back again to the family of origin, and as we stated, it might not be the traditional mom, dad, and siblings, but I do want to look a little bit at the sibling relationships, and there have been some, again, we go back to the pop psychology studies that I've read. What's the relationship of birth order to who you come out to be and the relationships you'll have in the future?
There is literature all about this, birth relationships and choice of mate, actually, and that often a firstborn male might choose a lastborn female.
Which is exactly the relationship between me and my husband.
And I am a lastborn, only female, and I have chosen a firstborn male. I guess when you have two firstborns, there can be a little power struggle going
on. Everybody wants to lead.
Exactly. Everyone wants to take charge. Or two lastborns, who's going to take care of me?
Right.
Who's going to protect me?
Let's face it, they're spoiled.
Right. Especially if you're daddy's little girl. Okay.
Guilty as charged.
Yep. And the other combination is two onlys. And that can be an interesting and challenging relationship.
So that certainly would have an influence not only on your marriage partner or your partner moving forward, but in other relationships
Absolutely.
That you have in your
and
life.
And in the workplace. I think family of origin and the issues we've either resolved because we've been aware of them and we've done that work or we're not aware of do play out in the workplace, you know, between managers and their direct reports and who's calling the shots and who's running the show and some resistance you might get, all those sorts of things.
You also mentioned earlier the stages of marriage. So I want to go back to that concept, and maybe we can actually rephrase that a little bit and call it the stages of a relationship.
Committed.
And I'm thinking more of a romantic relationship.
Yep.
And it could be male-female, could be male-male.
Sure.
Could be female-female. Mm-hmm. What are the stages?
They're just like for an individual. There's infancy, there's toddler, there's pre-adolescence, puberty, there's adolescence, and certain developmental tasks have to occur in each of those stages for the individual, and similarly during the marriage. So it's not unusual that a marriage that's in its adolescence and perhaps moving towards maybe 16 years, okay, adolescence, that the couple, their marriage is in its adolescence, and they have all those struggles that adolescents do, asserting their independence, wanting to individuate, to separate, to spread their wings. Well, I don't think a lot of those phrases fit well in a marriage, but it's normal, okay? So if the couple is aware that, oh, we're kind of in the adolescence of our relationship. And oftentimes when a couple, if they haven't had enough couple time, either they've had a short courtship and or they've started a family right away, they really haven't been able to do and be a couple. So children come along, the focus becomes the kids, as it needs to be, and which is right, but they've in some ways, in some relationships, lost one another. So the kids do their thing, a lot of family activities, the kids mature and go through the various stages, and parents have done a good job, you know, the good nest, and they let the kids go. And the kids want to go. That's a nice thing. Okay. Although these days, you know,
a lot of them stay home.
Right. That then the couple is there looking across the breakfast table, looking at one another, saying, who are you?
Right.
So that can be a challenging time in a marriage. It can be very exciting and wonderful, but it can be challenging.
So from your perspective as a licensed marriage and family therapist, what can be done within a marriage to prevent getting to that point where maybe two, three, four, however many is finally out the door and you look at each other and say, who are you? Why did I marry you? What can be done through the previous stages that can prevent that moment from occurring?
Maintaining or building and sustaining the couple relationship, you know, the you and me, the us, and strengthening that through whatever activities and family relationships, profession or spiritual relationship, other interests that you share as a couple, as two adults, and that you want to spend time together.
What I'm hearing is spend time together.
Yes. Hold close to one another because the kids are going to go.
Right.
We hope. And in a healthy way.
And when the kids are 5 and 7 years old, yeah, you think this is the crux of your life, this is what it's going
right
to be forever.
And it is.
It is at that moment. But at some point, 20 years down the line, right, when they're gone, how have you nurtured that relationship? And I think it's important
right
that we emphasize, even with the romance of
right
Valentine's
yes
Day, that it's important to maintain that one-on-one us time.
That's right.
To
and to nurture it. We oftentimes, we get caught up in the rush of life and running kids off to soccer games and scouts.
School and events and yeah,
all those things. And we forget the you and me, the us.
Right. The only us is, are you taking the kids
right
or am I?
Right.
So it goes way beyond that.
I love that you use that word nurture. The couple, it's so important for them to be cognizant of nurturing their relationship, which also entails not forgetting about how we nurture ourselves,
right,
because we're only as good for someone else as we have taken good care of ourselves.
Excellent point. Now, before we conclude today, I want to make sure that we emphasize the fact that in the relationship of the marriage, if there are issues, you don't have to go it alone. You're a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Right.
And it's okay to get some outside professional help,
that's
isn't
right
it?
That's right. And still today in this day and age, there is a stigma, and I appreciate that and respect it. But it isn't necessary to do it alone. And it's only with, and it takes courage to ask for help and to step outside of your couple system and let someone on the outside enter. But we only enter for a brief time to help the couple see one another and hear one another. And then we remove ourselves. It's about the couple's relationship.
Right.
But they may need some guidance seeing more clearly.
And in general, final quickie piece of advice, healthy relationships. Is there any one thing I can do today to make sure that I have a healthy relationship with the people in my life, be it my children, my husband, my mother, my best friends?
Well, again, I think I want to come back to how well we're taking care of ourselves. Not to make that sound like a selfish endeavor, but I think the more we're getting good rest and nutrition and having a balance between work and family and attending to the various things that make up who we are, that then we come into a relationship available.
Elizabeth Robinson is a licensed marriage and family therapist working out of the University of Connecticut Health Center in Farmington. Coming up, not every marriage ends up being a long one. If you want to get divorced amicably, there is a way. It's called divorce mediation, and we'll talk about it in just a little while. You're listening to Rich Answers from the Conference of Churches and Light 100.5 WRCH.